Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Jace Lejeune is our co-host. Our guest today is one of the top young coaches in the state of Louisiana from Oak Grove High School, Ryan Gregory, Coach, thanks for joining us. First of all, man, what a run Oak Grove's had these last few years, but just really appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, I really appreciate y'all having me, guys. And I really appreciate what y'all do for our sport, these kids.
A lot of people don't remember this. I know Oak Grove people do, but people from all over Louisiana, we go statewide. But you were a member of the 1999 state championship as a player and 2001. And then you joined the staff as a D-line coach, which I know you played at Oak Grove, and you were a lineman yourself. And Coach, every time I see your team, I can tell that your patent is behind that OD line. I know you got D-line, O-line coaches, but, I mean, your guys are always tough and physical and strong.
Yes, it's a kind of unique experience getting to, you know, come back to your alma mater and then, kind of seeing the success we've had as of late. But like you just said, we've always got great players, and we've got some physical guys up front, and that's kind of what we've built our program around is starts up front on both sides, and those guys certainly have a passion for the game and certainly take coaching well and take pride in being physical.
You played under Vic Dalrymple, who won 4 state championships at Oak Grove. You've already won 2 state championships, Coach, one over Homer. And then last year, y'all had a win over Grand Lake Cinderella team. And then this year, unprecedented, Jace, isn't this crazy? 4 trips in a row, possibly, to the state championship game. That's unheard
right.
of, Coach. Possible.
That is ridiculous.
Possible, yeah. I mean, isn't that crazy, Coach, to be in that position?
Yeah, it is. I mean, and it took us a little while to get back rolling. I mean, we had some strife there with our first year going 5-5 and, you know, kind of getting our program back to where we wanted it to be at. And like you said, getting the coach under Coach Dalrymple and play under him, it was what a blessing that is to be able to get knowledge from a guy that has so much success and, you know, just built off toughness. And that's what we tried to kind of, you know, instill back into our kids is, you know, we may not be the most athletic or the fastest or have the most depth, but we're certainly going to try to be the toughest out there.
Coach, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about your team, and you got a really talented young quarterback. It all starts there, and I know you've got some really talented young players. You've had to overcome the loss of some phenomenal players like Dalton Allen and some other kids that played for you 4 years. But we'll be right back with more of Ryan Gregory, head football coach from Oak Grove High School. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Our guest today is the head football coach from Oak Grove High School, Ryan Gregory. They're going to be competing. This thing's going to start soon. The playoffs are going to be underway before you know it. And, you know, it's Coach, isn't it crazy? The season's almost over, the regular season. It's like it just started.
Look, every year we tell our seniors, you know, our first two-a-day practice that, you know, we're going to blink our eyes and it's going to be November. And right. It kind of took us by surprise this year. I'm not going to lie to you. It's kind of snuck up on us, and it's right here at our doorstep now.
You were voted National Coach of the Year by the New Orleans Saints in 2020. I thought that was pretty cool deal. How was that for you and with the Saints doing? I didn't even know they did that, New Orleans Saints.
Well, I mean, you know, all the coaches, nobody, you know, you get into it for awards or anything like that, but that one was certainly kind of unique. And, you know, it's like I said, I mean, it's all about our players and our assistant coaches. You have to have players, good players make you a really good coach. So we've certainly had our run of those for sure.
I want to talk about some of your former players later in the show, like Joshua Moat. We'll talk about him, how great he's doing at Louisiana Tech as a center, chance to play at the next level after that. You know, he's a junior. Let's talk about your team this year, Coach. I mean, last year you lost several kids that started for you 4 years, and people don't realize that. I mean, it's not like you returned, 15 to 22 starters. Y'all had a lot of guys move on, Coach, that started not 1 year, but a lot of these guys 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that's a good, great point that we try to, you know, tell people. I mean, we have 16 new starters this year, And, you know, last year losing, I think we probably had five or six kids that started for 4 years, like you just said, and several other ones that had started for 2 or 3 years. I mean, that's a lot of production you have to replace with guys that, whether they're sophomores or juniors, it's their first year on the field, and then turn around looking, we've got seven freshmen starting. So we're awfully, you know, like you said, having replaced a lot of guys that played a lot of football last year.
I watched your team play, Coach, a couple of games. I watched the Cedar Creek game and a couple other games of your team this year. I'm very impressed with this young quarterback and your freshman. And I'm getting old because I remember watching his daddy play, Josh Bradley.
You know, I'm
getting old, Coach, because Bradley was our – and let me mention this. You know the Oak Grove people know this. But people here in this show outside Oak Grove, maybe not even in Monroe, but Shreveport and Baton Rouge, Josh Bradley was 6'7" in height, as you know, 240, 250, went to LSU, finished at Tech as a tight end. And now his son is your quarterback as a freshman. I'm like, look at this. And he's 6'3" at least now. He's a built kid. He's pretty strong already. And, Coach, I'm seeing some ability in this kid as a freshman that's scary. I mean, what he can be in 3 years is just off the charts, huh?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you mentioned the genetics of it. I mean, Josh was a two-time All-American at Tech, played for the Titans. And then Jackson's build, you can, like you just hit on, he's 6'3". He's close to – he's already over 200 pounds, and he's growing every week. I mean, he had some freshman growing pains the first couple of games against some really good teams, and he just kept coming back to work every day. And you see the growth every week, getting better and better, keeping the football from turning it over so much. And like you said, the potential there is out the roof. And what you like about the kid mostly is he's there to work. He's a sponge. I mean, he soaks up everything you tell him, and he wants to be the best he can be for his teammates. And going forward, certainly a bright future there for sure.
And I'm surprised how well he runs for a 200-pound kid already. He runs pretty.
Oh
well.
Yeah, he's very athletic. I mean, he's gonna fool people this year already with that. I mean, he's when he gets going, he gets going downhill. That's a big kid, 200-pound kid running really fast.
6'3", only a freshman. Coach, another kid that stuck out to me this year, he's a junior, he's very talented. And what I really – it makes me smile watching film. But when he makes a tackle, I've seen him practically – he loves to, like, pick people up off the ground and finish. And that's Franklin at DB and receiver. Kamarian Franklin is a heck of a player for you on defense and offense.
He is. He's a game changer, man. That's why he's got so many offers and he's getting recruited nationally. Because of his athletic ability, his length. He's 6'3", but he kind of, you know, he plays a little bigger than that because he's so long. When his burst, like you said, when he gets to you and he can tackle you, he can really, really lay the wood to you. And he also is a game changer, and he can be a game changer in all three phases whenever he's when he gets the opportunity and he's playing the way we want him to play. So he can take over games, and he's very exciting to watch.
Now, there's another kid I want to mention. I'm going to mention a few, but just to spend some time on this guy. Coach, he looks like Devin White's cousin, Caleb Proctor, the way he's built physically. I mean, Caleb Proctor looks like a grown man in that linebacker position. I mean, there you don't see a lot of 255-pound linebackers at 6'1". I mean, that's just – and he's not fat. He's just a big guy that can move.
Look, I think he's the most underrated player in the state. I stand by that. I've seen – we've had a good fortune of having kids come through here and get signed. It baffles me on him why he doesn't have more offers. I mean, like you said, he's over 6'2", and he's 260 now, and he's going to make someone a heck of a steal. He's probably going to play D-line to next level because he's so strong. But as like you said, he runs well. He's our best kickoff cover guy at 260 pounds. So it baffles me why he doesn't have more offers. He's a great student, but certainly glad to have him on our squad for sure.
Well, after this show's going to go out to a lot of people, then you know how that works. We hope it picks up a lot.
Yeah, hopefully. But, I mean, somebody's going to get a steal with him. I know that.
Coach, I don't see anybody in the state that's a senior or even a junior that weighs 255 in space, run, you know, I'm just saying legit 4.69 at least, and that's moving for 260 for a 6'2".
Yeah, he can run.
Number 40, plays a little tight end for you every now and then. And then there's some other guys I want to mention. Ty Porter does a good job for you at running back and DB. James Harris is another good-looking kid at number 2. You know, you got Caden Moody. This is a couple of guys that are like battering rams. Caden Moody and this young guy, Joe Thomas, Layton. These three, these two guys, they'll make some blocks for that offense, huh, Coach?
Yeah. And JT Layton's another one of those freshmen that's starting that we expect big things from. And Caden Moody finally got him healthy. He didn't play much early in the season. He's kind of taking that fullback role. And, you know, I'll compare it to a couple of years ago when Ron Creighton just first started playing fullback. It wasn't like it finished. You know, it took him a little while to get going and understand the position. And we're expecting a lot of big things out of him going forward, too.
And I want to mention another kid, that Corey Freeman, a really strong running back for you, junior. And this young kid, number 10, Brody Stewart's got a great future. Big, tall receiver for you.
You're exactly right. Brody Stewart's another one of those freshmen that once he gets going, he's going to be special. I'm glad you mentioned Ty Porter. Ty Porter's probably got some of the best cover skills of any DB that I've coached. And you talk about a physical kid that can really get after it and really run. So I expect him he's going to pick up some interest at the end of this season going into the next year too.
I can't leave out the O-lineman. And I know you love that. John Carter O'Neill's as good as anybody pulling, I see. And then you got young Tanner Duff. You got Bo Stampley, your big senior, who's improved. And Ryder Strong. And Ryder Strong's a tough kid, too. Those are some really good O-linemen for you, huh, Coach?
I have a lot of experience with those guys that you just mentioned. And Tanner Duff stepping in, another freshman that's starting in a tough spot. I mean, it's hard to have a freshman start up front. We've got a couple on both sides of the ball that start. And then we got one of our guys we got back, Payne Hagan, just started playing again, number 86. That's going to help us out a lot, too. So those guys definitely have been taking jumps every week, too, and we expect them to take another one this week.
I want to mention some seniors that are important to your program. Zach Hedgewood, who's never seen a tackle he dislikes at DB. and he plays bigger than his size. And then Darius Nelson, a defensive lineman, tight end, and then Montarius Freeman's been playing, it seems, forever at DN, number 48.
Well, I'm glad you brought them up. Zach Hagel it represents everything that our program's about. Zach plays like he's 6'2", 200 pounds. It would be like cheating if he was that big.
Right.
And that kid there, I kind of gloat on him just because of the way he plays. He thinks there's no moment he doesn't think he can handle. It doesn't matter what sport it is. If he's run the 100, he thinks he's going to win it, even though he's not. I mean, he's just right. That's just how the kid he is. And then Montarius Freeman, man, what a class act that kid is. He's got some D2 offers. I think he may get some friends, 1AA offers for it's over with, because that kid's really developed as a pass rusher too.
And some other good players for you: Gary Mack Thomas, Ja White, Ortavian Kraft, Dorian Anderson. These are guys. Colin David Anderson Jr., Seth Ray. Good players. These are, I mean, just really a lot of these guys are new that we mentioned, first-year players that have just really bought into what y'all are doing, Coach. And I want to change the subject a little bit, but you got to be proud of Joshua Moat, former O-lineman from the school, and what he's doing at Louisiana Tech. I think he's one of the best centers in the United States in college football. What do you think?
Look, that kid, if you talk about getting emotional talking about one of your former players, it's definitely him. I can't say enough about that kid, the way he represents our school and our program and his family. I mean, that you talk about just a complete package when you look at Joshua Moat, whether it's playing off the field, on the field, everybody loves him. If you talk to anybody at Louisiana Tech, they're going to talk the same way about him that I do. And he's definitely got a chance to go to the next level just because he's worked himself into that. You know, Joshua wasn't a 6'5", 330-pound kid coming out of high school. I mean, he was about 270, you know, 6'2", and some change. He's grown some over there, close to 6'4", you know, 300 pounds now, but just a solid rock. But he's just everything you want in a football player and a kid, that's him.
And I don't want to leave out your punter kicker for your team, who's also your backup quarterback, Thomas Clack. He's got a pretty good leg, young guy.
Sophomore. Thomas is going to have a chance to go kick somewhere. I mean, he goes at it hard. He's a tough kid. Like you said, he's a backup quarterback. I think he'll end up playing somewhere else on the team position-wise, too, going forward. I mean, he's not just a kicker, but he's definitely a weapon there. He's very solid on extra points. He's got we feel like inside, if we get to the 20-yard line, we can kick a field goal. I mean, that's a big deal, you know, going forward. And then on kickoffs, he's been very, very effective. His punting's gotten better every week, too. So, man, it's definitely a weapon to have a kid like that.
Coach, bring you back one more segment. I want to ask you about the facilities and how you like that turf field and everything that's changed since you've played. You know, you didn't have that turf field when you were a high school football player at Oak Grove.
No, we didn't have that.
That's a good-looking field, Coach, and we'll be right back. We're listening to – we're promoting Oak Grove High School and head coach Ryan Gregory. We'll have more with Coach Gregory in just a minute. If you need a paint job or repairs to your vehicle, go see Medin's Collision Center located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Kincaid Avenue. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983. Your Baton Rouge Accident Advisors. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. Our guest today is head coach Ryan Gregory from Oak Grove High School. Coach, when I watch your team play and you see that emblem at the middle of the field for Oak Grove and you see the nice turf field and you look back as a head coach when you were in high school at Oak Grove, all these facilities that have just – everybody's got turf fields now and everything's got – you know, you got some scoreboards. What do you think of that considering when you were back in high school at Oak Grove back in the day?
You know, I think it's just a testament to our program. I mean, we wouldn't be able to have the support to be able to do things like that if we didn't have an established program that Coach Grample and all the former players and coaches and, you know, whoever else was involved in our program going forward. If we didn't have a successful base, I don't think it would be possible. And then for our kids to be able to go out there and enjoy the facilities we have. And it's not just the football team. I mean, everybody at the school gets used to that field, whether it be for recess or, you know, baseball and softball, and, you know, when the weather's so bad, or, you know, basketball training, running and such. So, I mean, everybody gets use out of it. And I think it's just a great thing for our kids. And like you said, we didn't have that, you know, back when we were playing, but times are different and facilities are, you know, going down. You've got to keep them upgraded or you're going to lose them. And I think our guys have done a good job of supporting us and giving us what we need.
Hey, Coach, this is Jace. I was going to ask you a question about, I know I just noticed the last couple of days about this, but y'all moving up to 2A. I know y'all dominated in 1A the last couple of years, but talk about the move. I know y'all focused on trying to get another 1A state championship the rest of this season, but talk about the move going back up to 2A.
Yeah, it's a challenge that we'll welcome. I mean, we know about the teams in 2A that are top shelf and who's going to be competing, but we're going to have the same expectations every week. If you don't have those expectations to win, no matter who you're playing, then you're not going to be able to achieve what you want to achieve. And I think we'll be fine. I think we've got some young kids playing this year that's going to get a lot of reps against some good teams. That's going to prepare us for playing in that 2A level. Cause I think it's a deep class. I think there's, you know, 8 to 10 teams every year in that class that are going to compete for winning a state championship, and then more than that is going to make deep runs. So I think we'll be ready for it. I think we'll accept the challenge, and I think our kids will respond to it.
I know y'all have been really prepared for it, Coach. Just looking at your schedule just early on in the season, anytime y'all can schedule Mangum and Ouachita Christian and Sterlington and teams of that caliber, it just really prepares for your team for not only the 1A level in the playoffs and making a run at the end of the season, but also, yeah, moving up to 2A. But talk about the early part of the season and the advantages of playing those teams early on, and how does that help you to for your program now heading into late in the season and towards the playoffs?
Yeah, I think if you don't test yourself and schedule up, I don't think you're doing yourself a service as far as making a run in the playoffs. Not for sure. We'll continue that trend. I mean, we've already got some guys locked into our schedule that we're not sure about the districts and what kind of openings we're going to have, but we know a couple of them will be open. We've already got those filled with teams that are going to be there late in November and early December. So I mean, I think you have to do that. I think we'll benefit this year. I know we're sitting at 4-4, and it's not a place we like to be, but I think, you know, going into the playoffs, it's going to help us make a run this year playing those teams that we have.
You're a 4-4 team. Nobody wants to play, Coach.
No.
Come playoffs, they're like, no, not Oak Grove in the first round. No. And I watched, you know, seeing Coach's team on film, and I've watched most of them in South Louisiana this year in 1A. You know, there's not a lot of guys or a lot of teams that are going to want to play you with those four losses. And I think that's kind of a – I guess you always look for a positive if you can tell your team, obviously, because if you got some losses, you got a chip on your shoulder, right, Coach, where you can
We for sure have an edge. You know, these kids have heard an awful lot over the last 4 or 5 weeks about, you know, this is the worst team Oak Grove's had in decades, and this and that. And that comes with the territory. It seems to be like people relish whenever, you know, you're not doing as well as you think you should. I mean, we're 3 plays from 7-1, but you know what? We didn't make those 3 plays. So here we sit. Yeah. And it's up to us to go forward and make the most of it. And I think we can.
Yeah, you're going to make some of these coaches drink when the selection show comes out the yep. first round. Coach, any final thoughts on Oak Grove and anything you want? Talk about the game this
is a big
today,
one.
Today. The game, actually, the show's going to be on Friday. So what do you think about the game coming up?
It's a huge game. I mean, St. Frederick is a quality, good football team. And Andy Robinson has done an outstanding job of producing a product every year that's a tough physical brand of football. I think it's going to be just an old-fashioned knockdown drag-out. I think our guys are going to respond to all the criticism and all the negativity and all the challenges that have been placed before them. I think our kids are going to be ready. What that entails, we'll see. But I do think our guys are going to get off the bus with a mindset that they're ready to go to work and move forward with this season and see where we're going to be at.
I will say this, Coach, and you know this already. If you can get to the playoffs in 1A from Monroe, you get a break in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You get easier. It's an easier – I'm not saying games are easy. I'm just saying you get – it's easier outside of your district when you get into the playoffs to get out of that brutal district.
I don't think they're as battle-tested. I mean, they're as battle-tested as anybody there is in the state with the teams they played.
Not in 1A.
No.
Yeah, it's been a tough schedule, and I think, you know, people like Logansport who've also played a tough schedule, you're going to see people like that hanging around late in the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right, Coach. That is the other team I saw that's a good-looking team, both in the trenches and skill-wise.
Every year, absolutely.
Every year, and Coach McGee does a good job over there. Coach, thanks for joining us, man, and good luck, and I know that y'all are going to make a big-time drive here in the next couple of weeks, and I know the season's going to continue after that.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Coach. That was head football coach from Oak Grove, Ryan Gregory. Jace, we're going to take a break. We come back. We'll talk a little football, maybe a little college football. Won't make too much of a show since we had Coach on today, right? So – but we'll have about 10, 15 minutes. Me and Jace will talk maybe a couple of high school games for this Friday, which you're listening to it on Friday, and then also college games this Saturday. There's no LSU game, so we don't have to talk about LSU. Some people might think there's an Alabama game, but there's not, thank goodness.
Yeah.
It's an open date.
Well, it's going to be ugly either way. Either way you slice it up.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be back with more with the Sports Scouting Report. Be sure to take your car and truck for all your tire needs to Treads and Care Tire Company located in Central. The number to call is 331-8144. Family owned and operated since 1971. That's Treads and Care Tire Company. Welcome back. You listen to Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Co-host today, Jace LeJarn, our editor for Louisiana Football Magazine. You listen to Ryan Gregory, head football coach, Oak Grove High School. Jace, before we talk about maybe some college games this Saturday, Coach Gregory, the job he's done at his age, starting back when he was hired, and to be in 4 state title games, I'm not saying they're going to 4, but I'm just saying they have a chance to be in 4 straight, which is unheard of, in 5A, 4A, 3A, 2A, 1A, in the history of Louisiana football, to go potentially 4 and to maybe win 3 out of 4 years state titles, and to give the school, I think, would be 7 state titles.
This would be, 7. This will be 7.
If they can get to the state championship game this year, they could have a chance to win their 7th for the school.
Yep.
The job he's done, he's, you know, and they are 4-4. I'm going to tell you, they're the best 4-4 in the state. I watched them play. They've got some serious young talent. That young talent's starting to come around and mature.
Yeah, don't look at their record and say Oak Grove is down this year, because they're not. That. When you play Mangum, Washtenaw Christian, and Sterlington your first 3 weeks of the season, I mean, there's no understand why they're 0-3. At that point, probably the best 0-3 team there would be. But they've been on the run the last couple of games. They've only had one loss on their schedule, and they played a really tough Cedar Creek team who's having a good season this year too. So this team is as dangerous as there is, and in Class 1A.
And look, I've seen them play this year. they are as talented as any team, but you can just take into account all the freshmen and sophomores he's had to play since week one.
Yeah, they graduated a lot of seniors from last year.
And I'm going to tell you, this quarterback, Bradley,
mm-hmm.
he's going to be a national recruit D1, not just a D1.
Yep.
He's going to be a national, just like his dad. His dad was a tight end. But
right.
This kid is going to be, he's more advanced than Holstein at Zachary.
Wow.
Holstein didn't start as a freshman.
That's true, yep.
Holstein didn't start to a sophomore year last year
mm-hmm.
in 220 at Zachary. Now, he had to wait his turn.
Right.
But this kid, Bradley, who's a freshman at Oak Grove, is going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the United States, mark my words, in 3 years. Another quarterback from Louisiana, Jace.
Yep. They are really growing a lot of Louisiana quarterbacks. It's become the state to get quarterbacks. If you want a national quarterback, a nationally ranked quarterback, just come on down to Louisiana and get yourself one.
And 10 years ago, people said, we don't have any quarterbacks right. in Louisiana. And the receiver, the freshman, Brody Stewart, who's number 10,
mm-hmm.
Jace, he's 6'3 and a half right now, 190 freshman.
Yeah.
With skills.
Yep.
Like, I'm talking about skills.
Mm-hmm.
So he could be 6'5", 6'6", when he's done. 220 tight end, maybe wide out, maybe Ed McCaffrey type. You never know. But
sure.
this is the talent. If they can win it this year, they're going to go on another 3-year run with
yep.
these young guys.
And it's going to be interesting because they're going to move up to 2A, and which is perfect. We did this interview because they released the reclassification yesterday. So there are a lot yeah. of really big moves. I mean, everybody's talking about Ed McCarr. They're moving up to 5A. But
they can handle that.
Yeah, they can handle that. And Oak Grove can handle moving up to 2A.
Yeah, actually, it might be better for them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because 1A, you get away from, you know, Haynesville,
sure.
Logansport.
Yep. I know Grand Lake also had to move up to 2A as well, which, you know, yeah, they've been pretty good the last 2 years. But,
yeah
it's going to be a good challenge for Oak Grove. And they've been successful. They've been in 2A before. And they've been successful there. So I think it'll be a good move for Oak Grove.
Let me throw the staff out. We weren't able to do that. But,
yeah.
You know, also the assistants really would appreciate this at Oak Grove. And I want to mention Lawson Green, Richie Allen, Dustin Duff. Josh Bradley's on the staff, former
okay.
LSU Tech player. Tony Davis, Mike Moat. I think
that's Joshua's dad. Yep.
Ty Rowlandson. And junior high coaches, Clay Lewis, David Anderson, Tony Campanelli, and Randy Orr. I just think that coaches love when their names mentioned because they are working hard. That's the staff.
Yeah.
Everybody's a part of this. Like Coach said, it's not just Ryan Gregory.
No.
And that's a special group of guys that are keeping Oak Grove in this thing. And like I said, if I'm an undefeated team going into week one and you've got Oak Grove as an opponent, oh, man.
No.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
I feel sorry.
Ooh.
I feel sorry whoever has to play Ooh. Them. And, yeah, like my dad says, you know, a good coach is nothing without a really good staff around them. And, like, if you have a really good staff around you, that sets, you know, a lot of dividends for how good your team could be if you surround yeah. yourself with really good people around you.
Now, Oak Grove's usually about 290 on the O-line, Jace. This year they're only around 260.
Yeah.
All right. Just around 255, 260.
That's certainly big enough for them in 1A.
You average know. Weight. And they're 6 foot. 5'11"
yeah, they don't have
height.
The Burt Hales this year, the Keenan Caldwell, those type of guys.
But still,
they're big. They're playing big enough in 1A.
Which is still bigger than a D1,
yeah.
than a 1A
sure.
Average O-line.
Sure.
Which is usually around 200.
Yeah, right.
Something
right.
like that. So,
yeah, you won't find any offensive lines in 1A. You know, just with the low enrollment and everything, as you know, as big as that. So even if they are smaller than they used to be, they're still plenty big enough to
handle
everybody
else. Still one of
the
biggest O-lines.
Yeah, right.
We're going to take a break. We come back. We're going to have our last segment of the show, talk about some college games this mm-hmm. Saturday. And if we want to talk about a high school game or two, we'll do that. We'll be right
sure.
back. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has 3 dealerships, which means 3 times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. Jace Lejeune's co-hosting today. I want to mention, before we get into college games, Jace, this segment, I want to talk about Caleb Proctor real quick again, coach's star linebacker from Oak Grove.
Yeah, he was on the cover of a magazine.
On our cover.
Yep.
And I just, You know, if you know football and you watch football, there's a lot of guys that watch football for 30, 40, 50 years, okay? And I'm probably hitting that 32, 33 years, but I've never seen, let's say, I won't say I've never seen, but I haven't seen maybe more than two or three in my life in high school where a kid's playing linebacker, like he's playing the position linebacker and he weighs 260. He's 6'2", can run under 4'7", and he's built like a weightlifter. Now, I'm not talking about a guy that's like all, you know, sloppily built. I'm talking about a kid who's put together that looks like he can bench 400 pounds.
Right.
That is Caleb Proctor, and he's not stiff, meaning he can run.
Mm-hmm.
How can a D1 school outside of LSU, and LSU's not out of the realm of this guy, too,
sure.
How can you not offer him? Now, I can see ULM coming in, taking him in the end. I really can see that, being that he's a local guy.
Right there, you know.
Louisiana Tech.
Right.
But outside of that, Tulane and UL.
Sure.
I would be all over this kid.
Yep.
And you can actually shrink him down to 240, Jace, and he actually would be lean. Mm. Isn't that scary?
Yeah.
He would be lean at 240 at 6'2", probably running 4'5". If you really want him to just play linebacker in college, if you bulk him up to 280,
he can be a
DN, and he can still run under a 4.9.
Yep, That's what's most impressive. Not only that he's that big,
and a good student,
heck of a student. But yeah, for him to run like that, that's incredible for a guy that's 260 pounds playing linebacker. Usually, especially in 1A, if you're 260 pounds, even though you might be a linebacker the next level, they put you on the defensive line because you're a big body. But him playing linebacker and still running like that, that
at
really shows
two.
At 6'2", that really shows his ability.
Now, I've never seen a linebacker this big at West Monroe, and they've had 100 go D1.
Yep.
I've never seen a 250-pound linebacker at West Monroe. I'm talking about linebacker, maybe DNs.
Sure.
Brian West, Ledoux, those guys.
Yeah.
They were DNs.
Right.
This guy.
And Brady James wasn't that big.
No,
I mean,
Brady was like 220 in high school. Like he got to 230 at LSU. I think Cowboys, he played at 241.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But 260, 6'2", running 4.69, 40.
Wow. That's incredible.
And he does bench close to 400 pounds.
Yeah, he's definitely a freak of nature.
Caleb Proctor. And let's
hate
go
to be
ahead.
A running back in 1A.
No. And he's playing at the linebacker spot. Not on the line, but he's playing the linebacker spot.
Yeah,
and
that's
impressive. I think he is a Mike linebacker, which those Mikes at the next level are the bigger guys. They're the thicker guys.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep, right.
He's bigger than any linebacker at LSU.
Yeah.
Think of that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that.
College games, it's kind of weird. LSU's got an open date.
Yeah, it's a point when I mean porn week for the Big Ten because Michigan and Michigan State play.
Finally
play. That's gonna be a big one for sure to watch out
Mel
for.
Mel Tucker can help his job possibilities if he upsets Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be
he could be the hottest coach outside of Luke Fickell right now.
And really Harbaugh needs this win more because I mean that's always been his claim at Michigan. Like he wins the games he's supposed to win, but when it's time for Michigan State or Ohio State, Penn State, those type of games, he falls short. So he needs to get this win very badly.
Well, two things. You don't want to lose to the in-state Michigan State. And one, it'll ruin the undefeated season for the fan base.
Right. Right. This is a very important season for Harbaugh, and he's going to have to pass tests like this.
And I don't know if they can beat him. I really don't. Because Michigan hasn't played Ohio State yet or Penn State.
Yeah, they
avoided all the tough teams in the Big Ten. Now, I ain't taking anything away from Harbaugh, but they haven't played all the tough ones yet.
Well, he's won all those games, the games he's supposed to win.
Yeah.
But it's about, okay, what about the games you're the underdog or like you're the games that are going to be a battle for 60 minutes, those big national games. Those are the games he has to win in order to keep his job long term.
Speaking of pressure, Dan Mullen. They have the cocktail party game in Jacksonville against Georgia.
Yep.
I'm gonna say something that's gonna shock people, but maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Florida's kind of underplayed like LSU,
right?
With their talent. Georgia, I'm not taking nothing away from Georgia. I mean, they did beat Clemson, who's down early in the year.
On the eye test, they deserve to have the number one ranking as of now.
Defensively is carrying the team.
Yep.
But I don't see a walk-on quarterback dominating Florida.
Yeah.
I know it worked against Kentucky and a bad Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
But I really and I just don't see Georgia being this blowout win over Florida. I think Florida's going to be playing. What's different is I think for some reason the Mullen and the team, they actually like one another.
Yeah.
They need a new coordinator.
Yeah.
But yeah. I do think they're going to respond, kind of like LSU responded to Florida here.
I agree.
And I think
it's a rivalry game. Throw rivalry the records out, yeah, yeah. out the table.
But Mullen and Anthony Richardson was kind of hurt, and I think he's healthy now. But I wouldn't be shocked if Florida beats Georgia and all the Georgia talk kind of stops.
Yeah.
Because Florida, if anybody can score, it's Florida on Georgia. I really think they've got the speed to score on Georgia.
Talk about gamesmanship, Lee. Georgia, I heard that JT Daniels are trying to get him back into it, like trying to get him some more playing time. So having that dynamic with both the walk-on quarterback, Bennett, and then JT Daniels trying to get him back in there. You know, Florida's playing two quarterbacks, yeah. So you might see four quarterbacks play that whole entire game.
Might screw Georgia up,
yep,
though.
Yep. But really, both teams are trying to mess with each other. That's what rivalry games do.
Well, Emory Jones, to me, hasn't become that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, is Dan ego in the way to, like, sitting? Like, this is my guy?
Yeah.
Like, he's been playing him since 19 against LSU when they had Burrow, remember?
Right.
And that was a mistake, I think, taking Trask out against LSU mm-hmm. at Tiger Stadium.
Because he was hot that game.
Yeah, it shut the momentum down, I thought. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Mullen overthinks himself sometimes, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But Emory, somebody's got to be the guy, you know?
And really, if it wasn't for Felipe Franks getting hurt, we might have never seen Kyle Trask because right. he was starring the entire time before
good
that
point.
Injury.
Good point. Yeah. Kyle Trask didn't even start in high school.
No.
He was a backup in high school.
Yeah, to De'Aaron King. King was the starting quarterback.
In the Houston area in Texas. Yeah. Yep. We're going to take one more break, come back. We've got 5 minutes left in the show.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do about 40 minutes today. Jace will be back, and let's talk about some other games. We'll be right back. If you need a paint job or repairs to your vehicle, go see Medin's Collision Center located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Kincaid Avenue. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983. Your Baton Rouge Accident Advisors. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. Jace Lejeune is our co-host. I want to mention some of our sponsors, Medin's Collision Center. Be sure to support them if you need a paint job. Huge supporters of high school college football in Louisiana. They're on Kincaid Avenue. Number to call, 357-7983. They're on Kincaid Avenue, 5275 Kincaid Avenue. Also, John Harvey Toyota out of Shreveport-Bossier City. Tell them Lee sent you if you're looking for a new or used car. Harvey Subaru or Lexus of Shreveport or Bossier City, John Harvey Toyota. Also, Jace, Treads and Care Tire Company in Central, located locally owned and operated. The number to call is 331-8144. They also do pickup and delivery. A lot of people don't do that. They're on Hooper Road, Park Place Drive, brand new store. Devin Holly's the owner, great guy. You know, and also our new sponsor, Gross Savon Lodge, the true sportsman's paradise, Jace.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a family that likes to fish, especially your son or daughter, and you want a client to take, there's not a better place to go than Gross Savon Lodge. Freshwater fishing, saltwater fishing, alligator hunting, waterfowl hunting, echo tours, located south of Lake Charles. The number to call is 337-598-2357. It's 337-598-2357. And ending with this, I want to say prayers to everybody in Lake Charles.
Yeah.
I was watching the news with the hurricane, I mean, not the tornadoes that came through, and I'm just upset that they got hit again with damage in these houses in Lake Charles.
Yeah, they've been through enough already.
Prayers to all the families
there.
I mean, it's just too much over there, and prayers to everyone there in Lake Charles in that area. Jace, college football, we talked about the cocktail game. We talked about some other games. Alabama LSU plays next week.
Yep. A big game this week is Ole Miss. They're playing Auburn and Jordan-Hare. And Ole Miss coming off a win against LSU. They are trying to go after a Sugar Bowl bid. But Auburn, we'll see what Auburn team would get, but that is a tricky game. Both teams are ranked. Ole Miss is number 10, Auburn is number 18.
Nick's needs to just become a receiver.
Yeah.
He just likes to run, Jace.
Yeah, play backyard football.
Yeah, he likes to improvise a lot, which he does well, but he can't run called plays. Mm-hmm. And he has trouble getting the ball out of his hand
right
on the first read. Mm-hmm. And then when he gives up on the pocket like he's never played a game.
Which is pretty incredible. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this.
He's played a lot of games.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking 30 games he started maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And he still plays like he's never started a game. Like he does a lot of things where he won't. And I know he has a quarterback coach, and I know he's got an offensive coordinator. And
right.
They're like, will you stick in the pocket and just stay in the pocket and throw it? And
his offensive coordinator was a quarterback too at Georgia. So, I mean, you think that they would tell him, but I've never seen anything like that. Usually it's the other way around. Usually quarterbacks, it's hard for them to improvise and make those plays. And it's easy for him to make the first – when the first read's there, it's easy for him to make it. But it's the exact opposite. I don't think I've ever really seen a quarterback have as many issues, as talented as a quarterback he is, have that issue. So, okay, all right, there's going to be a slant pass to the right. My first read, nope, I'm not going to hit it. I'm going to try to scramble and do something else. But, yeah, like when plays are in rhythm and on timing plays, he decides to do, hey, I'm going to do something on my own. But, yeah, never seen anything like it.
And I think Ole Miss, though – for some reason, I think they're going to call plays for him to run because that's what they do well.
Mm-hmm.
And Ole Miss, believe it or not, that was a game LSU could have got, but that's we could talk for hours. LSU didn't show up for about a quarter. This was a year for LSU to run the table. That's a whole nother day.
Yeah, right. Because you look at the country.
It's down.
It's not really.
Everything's
really
down.
Yeah, it's really down. There's not really a team that you could say, yeah, that there were like three or four teams usually. Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Those are the teams. This year, you're not really sure.
This Georgia team is really not like one of the greatest teams ever. This is just a great defense. They don't have a great offense. Let's just face
it. They get by on offense, you know.
Good coaching, but, you know, they're not as good as the team else you played in Atlanta in 19. I mean, that team was loaded, and they had a good offense, but – anyway, I think it's a game. It's a toss-up. I hate to say it. Auburn can beat Ole Miss. Ole Miss is not a great team. The media built them up.
Yep.
Matt Corral might still be a little injured. We don't know if that's possible.
Sure.
Georgia gets a couple of receivers back, and we'll see what happens. But I think Ole Miss, you know, with this game with Auburn, I just think either way. I said Georgia, but I mean,
yeah,
I meant Ole Miss getting a receiver back. But you know. Toss up. It'll be a good game to watch.
And the reason why I say it's a big week for the Big Ten because Ohio State's also going to play Penn State. Now, Penn State came off, like, how many overtimes that was? 9, 10?
I watched it.
Against Illinois. But hey, that's just one of those games. Just throw out the records and everything because Ohio State, Penn State is a great matchup, a great rivalry.
How about Brett Bielema, what he's done? I mean, they haven't beaten a team like that before him in years.
Yeah.
I mean, he comes back from coaching a little bit with Belichick and the Patriots. Mm-hmm. He was at Arkansas.
Right.
Wisconsin.
Had all the success at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yep.
Iowa native. Heck, man, I mean, to do it at Penn State? That was at Penn State, man. That was like 100,000 with people with white towels, you know?
Yeah. That was very impressive.
And that was not a good loss for the coach at Penn State moving forward, especially if he can't win this game.
Considering that his name is starting to come out for the the USC job, obviously,
slow
and the LSU job.
Slow some
of that momentum down.
Because this is the year he's supposed to show, like, championships.
Right, because
he's
hasn't.
For a long time.
Yeah, he hasn't really proven it. Now, he's been winning games, but he hasn't really proven anything at Penn State. You know, they haven't. I think they won one Big Ten championship, I believe, but. Yeah, and they just missed the playoff, but that's about it. He hasn't really won a division or a Big Ten championship. Now he's done he did a heck of a job at Vanderbilt. You know what? That's pretty much as good as you're going to get at Vanderbilt. But he has had some problems just trying to get over that hump.
Well, the thing about Coach Franklin, I thought his best team was in 2020, but COVID ruined that.
Yeah,
I think their season was probably the most. Hurtful from the COVID in 2020 because they lost Michael Parsons for the season. He opted out.
Right.
They talk about Jamar Chase at LSU, but Michael Parsons, who's one of the best young linebackers now for the Cowboys.
Yep. Could be Defensive Rookie of the Year this year.
They were loaded that year, and they had Clifford, the quarterback, who's the quarterback now.
Mm-hmm.
but they were loaded with players. And they never, and a lot of, they had like 20 guys hurt and like 10 opted out.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something he was building.
Right.
And it was gone. And then now this year they're not as good, and he's trying to still live up to that.
Yeah.
You hadn't heard a lot about the running back Kane this year from Baton Rouge.
No, he's been starting, but I think what Penn State's offense is trying to do is run that air raid type of offense. And when you run that air raid type of offense, it limits the carries amount of touches for your running back. Now, Noah Kane is their number one running back, but they're not going to run the football a lot because they like that number five, Dotson, at receiver, and they've been trying to throw the football a lot more in this air raid type of offense.
Any more games to mention that we could mention this weekend on Saturday? I know the show's going to play on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have some – we don't have to worry about who's playing Friday, but just Saturday sure. Maybe. But
sure. Tulane, oh boy. They got Cincinnati. So that's Saturday. So.
Well, all I got to say is, barring a miracle of 28 guys out with, a cold from Cincinnati, I just don't see this happening. And, look, it's been a weird year for Tulane. They play hard. They get tired. They look worn out. They had a lot of injuries. They don't look like they could overcome that D-line they lost last year. They had two drafted from the D-line. It's just really a rough – it's weird because you would think Tulane would have three wins, Jace, because they look good on TV against Oklahoma.
Right.
I think most people remember the Tulane-Oklahoma game, and they go, man, Tulane really should have won or almost won that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then since then, if you haven't watched Tulane, you're like, wait a minute, they're 1-6?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a good coach.
Yeah, they do.
Really, Fritz is a good coach. So, I mean, it's just one of those years that just wasn't in the cards, I guess. And maybe don't play an Ole Miss Oklahoma in the beginning. Maybe you don't recover from it.
Yeah, because I think that Ole Miss game really took a lot out of them. After that game, it went downhill.
Yeah,
it's been really downhill.
But Cincinnati's going to be that third hardest opponent, probably the second hardest opponent.
Yeah,
and they might have to do the mercy rule. They might have to just put the they might have to put the water boy in at quarterback the fourth quarter. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to. I'm just saying it could be a game where Fickle can say, "I'm going to call the dogs off in the third quarter," and it's 40-0. And we'll just play our third team. That could be one of those games.
Yeah, I guess we'll just, since we talked about Tulane, I guess we could talk about some in-state teams and what they're doing this week. So, Louisiana Tech, they lost pretty handily last week against UTSA, who's ranked, actually, right now, undefeated. Now they got to play Old Dominion. So, that is what their situation is. They're 2-5, so
they're
not really having a great season either. But they lost a couple of close games, so if it wasn't for them pulling, like, losing closely. They lost to a Hail Mary. They lost on a couple fluke plays. It wasn't for that. Their record could easily be, 4-2 right now.
I think what's really haunting Holtz right now, Jace, at Tech, is that loss to Mississippi State. They were winning by 18 with a quarter left.
Yep.
Dominating.
Sure.
State couldn't even get out of their own shadow that game. And they lost to State. They didn't score a point in the second half, basically, against State. And they had the game. I mean, they were just dominating.
Mm-hmm.
But I think mentally, some reason they haven't been right since that State loss.
Yeah. Yeah, and they had a field goal. They had a chance to win it with Barnes with a field goal at the end. And, they lost on a Hail Mary to SMU, which is undefeated right now. They should have won that game. So it's been
– SMU's a real deal.
Yep.
I mean, they beat Tulane pretty handily, and SMU's got a good-looking team.
Right.
I mean, when their backup quarterback's the number one quarterback in Texas, who was ranked higher than Nussmeier, and he only comes in and mop up, that's when SMU's a different program. That freshman that's not playing would be playing 10 years ago.
Right, right. And the star happens to lead the country in passing. So, so the star is pretty good,
but it's
too.
It's a different SMU. I don't want LSU playing. If LSU goes 6-6, I hope they don't put them against an SMU because it would be rough.
Definitely.
Really rough.
Definitely. And it shows you the job Sonny Dykes has been doing over there, the former Louisiana Tech coach.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a Texas guy, though, so I think he's back in where he wants to be. You know, he was a Texas Tech guy with his dad for years. And
which that job is open too. So he, I mean, might, he might take that Texas Tech job.
But I think SMU's different now. I think he'll stay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is not the rebuild, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think SMU could come up with some money now. They've got facilities. If you saw the Tulane game, they got really nice stuff. They got big crowds now.
Yep.
SMU could be on their way to something. I mean, they've been kind of dead for 25, 30 years.
Yeah, with the Pony Express stuff, right.
The Craig James, Eric Dickerson days, and Reggie Dupart. And
yep.
I mean, Eric Dickerson, I mean, that was a heck of an era. But
yeah.
I'm not saying they're at their level, but they're coming back
to where. They've been coming back the last four or five years. They've been getting back.
It took them. You know how sad it is? It's taken them 30 years, Chase.
Yeah, the death penalty really set them back.
30 years to get the program back to where recruits now go, I want to go to SMU, that are D1.
Right.
People in Dallas now, the recruits actually are choosing SMU. I'm talking about the Dallas kids.
Mm-hmm.
Over A&M, they won some battles from their local guys.
Yeah, that's big. That's big because you have to fight those Texas schools. Let's talk about the Warhawks, ULM. Talk about coach of the year. It looks like Coach Terry Bowen might be the coach of the year. They're 4-3 right now, but they got another big test. They got Appalachian State, who beat Coastal Carolina. So it's a good measuring stick type of game for ULM.
Hey, if ULM doesn't win another game, they've surpassed everything that I thought they would do this year. And I'm working with them doing consulting for recruiting. And, look, I think the late Bobby Bowden, would be proud of Terry, of what he's done. I mean, you know, really coming back. I mean, look, they just beat Liberty.
Yeah.
Hugh Freeze, who hadn't lost but a couple of games maybe in 2 years. I mean, and to beat Troy. And I mean,
to beat
South
Alabama.
I mean, my goodness. ULM's talent level is of a D3 school right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you're beating D1 teams. And you weren't supposed to win, but maybe a game, if any. And, and they got a chance. I mean, isn't it be crazy if they can get bowl eligible with 6 wins?
No, it'd be insane.
What do they need? 3 more?
They just
more?
Need 2.
They need 2 to they have need 6. Two. You know what's insane? They might have a better season than LSU.
There is a good chance because LSU's 4-4. They're 4-3, so they're about the same record now.
It might come down to who wins the LSU ULM game.
Yeah, it might.
In Tiger Stadium. You know, at one point, I thought it was a gimme, but I don't think anything's a gimme.
Yeah, it's coming less and less of a gimme each and every day.
Oh.
Yep.
Boy. Wow.
How tables have turned, huh?
Big time.
So, also, let's talk about the Raging Cajuns because they're having another great season, Coach Napier. They're 6-1. They want to win the Sun Belt Conference, and that's why Coach Napier, he built this program for this moment to win that conference championship. They're going to have a test with Texas State because, you know, the Raging Cajuns, they haven't really blew people out, but they just find ways to win. They just know how to win. And when you have that big offensive line, when you have that running game.
Defense,
it makes it easier to pull out those wins.
Well, I've said it many times. The UL has 6 NFL players on defense that'll play in the league. I'm not saying anyone go in the first round, but I think they've got several that'll make teams on just their defense. And then the offense has 3 O linemen that'll play in the NFL, maybe 4. And then Montrell Johnson will be a future first-round pick if he keeps going this rate from De La Salle, who I always thought was a great player. He just had nagging injuries in high school.
Right.
And then Smith, the other running back, is going to be an NFL guy. They just lost 3 NFL running backs. Elijah Mitchell and Regus.
Yeah, and Raymond Calais.
Raymond Calais, all in the NFL right now. So – quietly, UL is – they need to win the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
And I think that's the next step.
Right.
Because they've had some great years, and they haven't won the Sun Belt, you know, outright.
Now, last year, they were supposed to play in the Sun Belt, and then COVID canceled it, so they didn't get a chance to play in that game.
But you're seeing it, though, Jace, talent-wise. Talent-wise, UL has just more talent now than most of the teams in the Sun Belt. Back 5 years ago – UL was trying to upset people like Appalachian State,
Troy
and these guys.
Yeah,
but now the other teams have not, and they don't have the recruit base that UL has.
Right.
Like old, you know, I mean, even Coastal Carolina. These are not schools that can just, you know, recruit guys that are in Louisiana. Like, they can't come in Louisiana and get these kind of players. They don't have a base.
They get the second pickings of LSU.
Yeah, and they have. And obviously Tulane is not right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they need to do more of that. They need more Louisiana guys, and it shows the plan in the long run is you got to have enough Louisiana guys when this stuff goes
right
the other way and you lose some games. And I think LSU needs more Louisiana guys.
Talk about who else is building something special right now is Frank Selfo at Southeastern, because now they are the number 8 team in the country in FCS. And, yep, they got a big test. McNeese has been hot. They won 2 straight games. And they beat UIW, who's ranked. They upset them. And, yeah, going to be on the call on Saturday. It should be a really good one between Southeastern and McNeese. Those, even though Southeastern's a heavy favorite as a number 8 team, like the last 3 matchups came with 5 points or less. So it's going to be a tough game in Strawberry Stadium.
I think Coach Frank Wilson's in a tough spot at McNeese.
Yep.
If he doesn't, go, 10-1, it's 11-game season in 1AA, right? So they want him to go 9-2, 10-1 every year.
That's the expectations of McNeese. Yeah.
McNeese wants minimum 9 wins a year or a playoff game.
Right.
If you're 8-3.
Sure.
If you're not going to the playoffs and you're not winning at least 8 games, that's the spot you're in. And then so this is a big game for Frank.
This is a big opportunity for Frank Wilson.
And then on the other hand, Southeastern to get their claws into the playoffs and their seed, they need to finish strong, right? And so they don't want to travel up in the cold to one of these 1AA juggernaut teams.
Right. The Dakotas, they don't want to go over there.
Yeah, Montana or wherever they're going.
Sure.
So you want a home game in that first round if you're Southeastern.
Especially their passing attack, because they rely on them throwing the football. When you go in that cold weather,
If I'm Frank Selfo, too, to keep this going, because I really think he fits that school and he can stay there forever, is that he needs to find the next Cole Kelly stud that's not working out somewhere at a D1 school.
Right. They've had success in doing that. Well, I mean, Brian Bennett from Oregon.
Yeah, big time.
He was a great
quarterback. But, I mean, to keep it going, you need another phenomenal quarterback.
They have a quarterback right now, very athletic, a lot of like a high potential, like a high ceiling. He came from South Alabama, and he's been doing like that Taysom Hill type of role.
Yeah.
But that's what Cole Kelly did when they had a quarterback already in Chase and Virgil when he was a quarterback.
Yeah. Who had a good game at LSU that year.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He did. So, yeah, maybe they got a plan for Cephas Johnson to take the next step, because people are seeing him as the quarterback next year, unless Frank Selva says, hey, I'm on the side to get something from the transfer portal, because that has obviously worked for Southeastern.
And, look, we want to – I'm pulling for Southern. They don't have the team, I think, to win the SWAC.
Yeah, they got a tough matchup,
too. They got a new coach.
Yep.
And, they got a lot of young guys. And I think the key,
Alcorn State, that's not going to be easy for Southern.
I think the season now is to beat Grambling at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if you're a Southern fan, they live for that
game. Yeah, sometimes that's all it takes.
You can be 0-10, right? Mm-hmm. But if you beat Grambling, the coach gets a pass in a little bit. He gets a little bit of a pass. Like, man, because that is a game that you don't want to have a bad year and lose to Grambling.
That's like LSU being Bama. That type of deal. Like if
the old days was if you lost to Tulane and had a bad year, then you were probably fired as the coach.
Yeah, right.
That's when I was growing up. You
gotta meet one of the two checklists. Win the SWAC or beat Grambling beat Southern.
Grambling's the juggernaut. They wanna go 10-1, 9-2 every year.
I mean, and history wise, just with the great coaches, the program both when HBCU was really rolling, those schools with Eddie Robinson and Coach Richardson as well at Southern. I mean, it was either Grambling or it was either Southern. So that game came down to the SWAC championship between those two teams, because those are the cream of the crop.
Problem is, and everybody in the SWAC has talent now.
Yeah.
Jackson State, Prairie View, A&M.
Right, right.
Alabama A&M. Yep. They're all talented. So Southern and Grambling no longer dominates the SWAC with talent. I mean, they're all keeping kids, and Prairie View gets a lot of good Texas kids.
Sure,
Alabama A&M gets a lot of the. If you don't go to Auburn, Alabama, or Samford, hey, you're going probably to Alabama A&M. And then when you're looking at Jackson State and Deion, all the talent he's brought over there, Jace, all these he's got like 21 D1 transfers that are from big schools,
right?
And he's getting some high school top prospects. I think Southern and Grambling are going to have to recruit a little bit better in Louisiana. And I think it goes back again. We're saying about all these schools, they need more Louisiana guys.
Yeah. Yep. And they've been Jackson State, I noticed they've been getting some Louisiana guys, like the St. Helena Tanya. He signed with Jackson State. So it was like Dion knows to get into Louisiana and try to get some of those guys. And the last game, as far as college-wise, really talk about in-state, really both teams, you know, disappointing years for their fan bases. If you look at Northwestern State, you know, 1-6 right now, and you know Northwestern State is kind of like McNeese. They have high expectations over there. And Nicholls State is 3-4, considering all the talent that they have at Nicholls. Very disappointing at 3-4, considering what Coach Rebo originally built the last 3 or 4 years really get to this point. And it's been disappointing this year at 3-4, but they're going to play each other on Saturday.
Let me throw this out, and I hope Rebo takes this as a compliment.
Yeah.
Whoever LSU hires is the new coach, whether it's a Napier that needs a shot that doesn't have as big of a resume, or they get, you know, a big guy to leave a school like Dabo or the Oklahoma coach. I'm going to go hire Rebo to be my tight ends coach.
Yeah.
I'm going to go grab a Louisiana guy who's recruited Louisiana very well.
He has, yep.
And he's been around Louisiana with coaching from Destrehan High School to ULL to now Nicholls State. I go hire him to be on the staff.
Yeah.
I'm not saying as coordinator. I'm saying tight ends coach, something like that.
To recruit?
Oh, yes. To recruit and to be a position coach. I think LSU needs to get a Louisiana guy on the staff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That has been at the college level for a long time. He's the best recruiter not on the staff right now from Louisiana.
Yeah, I agree.
And then, obviously, you got Selfo's right behind him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Only because Rebo's been doing it longer.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, he just got here. This is his fourth year at Southeastern.
And the other one would be Frank, but Frank's a head coach, so he wouldn't probably come as an assistant.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, that's – I've been saying for years.
And he's done it before at LSU.
Yeah. But Rebo would be – I mean, he's from Destrehan. You know, he's from the River Parishes. He can recruit New Orleans. He can recruit Lafayette because he was coaching at UL forever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, he's a guy that could be your Louisiana guy. And you already had Mickey Joseph, right? But you need another guy, I think, to help with Louisiana. And I would do that if I was hired.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'd bring him in and say, look, whatever you need, we're going to pay you more than what you're making at Nicholls as a tight ends coach.
Yeah.
Or, you know, special team, whatever. We can get you on the staff.
Yeah, I think he's really done, you know, all he really could do at Nicholls. I mean, just considering that they were struggling when he got there.
To stay on
just,
top of that mountain's tough.
Yeah.
And especially,
he did for 2 or 3 years. I mean, that's a lot.
And, Jace, you just said it, Southeastern's emergence.
Yeah.
And Incarnate Word and all these other schools, it's really made it parity.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's hard to dominate when there's parity in the Southland Conference.
Yeah, because it was 2 or 3 years before Suffolk got there. I mean, Rebo was owning the Southland Conference, and now like the pendulum has swung a little bit towards Southeastern's favor because now they're looking like the hot team in the conference.
And I look for Northwestern. I think Laird, this is probably it, obviously, from what I'm hearing. And they're going to go get a big-time coach.
Yeah.
And so they're going to be back in it, too, with the transfer portal and –
oh, yeah.
And all that stuff. So,
you seen what it's done with Southeastern with Cole Kelly. You got, I mean, there are a lot of players in the Southland Conference because of that, and like the FCS has drawn a lot of attention because look at the NFL. Carson Wentz is starting in the NFL.
Right.
Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, those are all FCS quarterbacks. You know, Trey Lance was drafted 5th overall, and he was.
Tony Romo was one.
Yeah, right. So it's
Cowboys.
There are a lot of really good players in the FCS.
Job security is tough for a coach in the Southland now.
Yeah.
You know, before you were born and up through the mid-2000s, job security was strong.
Yeah, right.
You could be a Southland Conference coach and coach for like 8 years and have a 500, like 50-50 in wins, and as long as they liked you.
Yeah, right.
Not anymore.
They're getting more and more covers, and then ESPN's getting more covers covering them, and the facilities, there's more money into it now. Facilities are getting bigger. So, the FCS is starting to, you know, make some strides right now.
You might can have two teams from Louisiana doing well in the Southland. You can't have three.
Yeah, right.
And that's why it's going to always be what Southeastern, Nicholls, McNeese.
Yep.
Somebody in that three
right.
is not going to have a good year.
Yep.
Yeah. Right now, it's Northwestern.
Like 2019 was probably the best year that you've really ever seen from Louisiana schools, obviously with LSU, but both Nicholls and Southeastern made the playoffs, and then you had UL have the season they had, so yeah. That was as good of a year it was going to be.
Yeah, and now Northwestern State fans are just they remember Craig Knoll. They remember Bobby Hebert.
Right.
Mark Duper.
Ed Orgeron.
Gary Reasons. All these great players they had at that time frame has been now years.
Mm-hmm.
It's been years. 25 plus years.
Right. Yeah.
And so they're hungry for this because Nicholls went years.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Southeastern had no program, came back.
Right.
And it took them a while.
Yeah. Yep.
When Hal Mummy brought it back. But
right. And Robert's doing a really good job over there.
Kudos to Coach Selfo.
Yeah, he's on a great job with that program. And then one more thing I want to throw out to you because it's, you know, we'll throw an NFL game out to you is the Saints. You know, it was not pretty on Monday night, but that defense the Saints have is really legit.
Well, DeMario Davis, if he's not the best linebacker in the NFL, there are no linebackers in the NFL.
Right.
DeMario Davis makes the NFL look slow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then if Quan Alexander gets healthy, that's a duo.
Yep.
Their D-line is awesome. They're starting to stay healthy finally.
Right. You get on the mono back.
I mean, even though Hendrickson is with the Bengals, they had so much D-line talent, they couldn't keep everybody. But
yeah,
this reminds me of the team, Jace, when Bobby Hebert was with the Saints.
Yeah, right.
Where the Saints
patrol.
Offense was not that good.
Yeah.
And the defense had Vaughn Johnson, Sam Mills, Ricky
Dome
Jackson,
patrol.
Pat Swilling.
Yep.
And you had all those good DBs, Britt Maxey, and you had a lot of good talent. The defense carried the team.
Yeah, yep.
This reminds me, and it didn't. Yep. They never could get to a Super Bowl with that team.
Right, because of probably their limitations on offense.
So I see that again, and that's why I picked them to go 10-7 this year.
Based off this defense, are they a playoff team? Yes.
Yeah.
Are they a team that's going to make a Super Bowl run? Not until the offense shows me something.
I mean, look, let's face it. They're not going to get the seed Green Bay is going to have. You're going to go to the snow, right, in Green Bay and play Mr. Rogers.
Right. In his neighborhood.
right. And they're improved. They're a young team outside of him, and he's not old, but I'm just saying they've rebuilt the team. You don't want to play a Minnesota who might could slip in the end, who's going to be in the cold and freezing, snowing.
Yeah.
Build an Iceman to play them, right? So,
yeah.
Saints can't win outdoors when it's cold.
Yeah, best opportunity for them because
Tampa Bay is going
to
host.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Tampa Bay's in their division. Their best chance would be to win in the NFC South, which, you know, with Tampa Bay and Tom Brady being there, I just don't see it.
Saints can't let Carolina beat them again.
Yeah.
In their
most
conference.
Likely the Saints would slip in at a number 6 seed or a number 7 seed and play on the road somewhere.
Because, look, Matt Rhule and them are not going to go away in Carolina.
Yep.
They're not a bad team to lose the next 8. So, I mean, Carolina's going to beat somebody they're not supposed to beat.
Right. And the Falcons have shown some strides the last couple weeks.
You still got Matt Ryan there.
Right.
And then even though Julio Jones is gone,
they got a freak of nature
Ridley
and Kyle Pitts.
And Ridley.
Yeah, and Ridley.
And then they got Russell Gage from LSU doing great. So, I mean, but it's not – I just don't see the Saints, like, blowing Atlanta off the field. And even beating Carolina again, and even maybe not even beating Tampa Bay the second time around.
Yeah, I think the Saints might get them this weekend just because it's one of those weird things, short week, and Saints defense trying to prove something. But I think the second time around, Tampa Bay will get them.
Michael Thomas, this team's different.
Yeah.
And even though they picked up Ingram.
Yeah, which will help Kamara.
It's just they don't – Michael Thomas makes this offense different.
Yeah.
And they just don't have the receivers.
No, they don't.
Man, they got a lot of drops. In fairness, because I'm not a big fan of Winston, you know, being here
he
forever.
He hasn't been that bad.
No.
Like, he's been pretty decent.
But, you know, he's just – you got to make those big throws late in the game. And but he's had some drops. He's had a lot of guys
he
drop
balls.
He had
two – in that Seattle game, two go routes. I mean, on the money both times, and they were dropped.
If I'm Peyton, he does not like drops.
No.
And I don't know. You might see a bunch of receivers cut and picked up in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't tried to trade for a receiver yet.
I mean,
they don't
have a stud tight end catching the ball right now.
No.
I mean, they You know, they dropping too many balls.
It was literally Alvin Kamara. That was the offense.
Well, it was safe, yeah.
Yeah.
Throw a screen. Mm-hmm. He'll catch it and get at least 4 or 5.
Yeah, right.
If he goes down for
some
reason.
Oh, boy.
That's
zero offense. And they need, not only they need Michael Thomas back, but Deontay Harris, they need him back because he's a threat downfield.
Even though he's 5'5", he can move.
Yep, right. And also, you're going to need Taysom Hill to come back whenever he comes back.
Well, the bad news is I think Gronk comes back from Tampa Bay after being out 3 games.
Yeah, which will help him in the Tampa Bay in the red zone.
Tampa Bay's got 2 other good tight ends, so they have 3 really good tight ends. That's the difference between the Saints and Tampa Bay.
Right.
Tampa Bay's got 3 tight ends that could be Pro Bowlers.
Yep.
Saints have 0.
No. Yeah, I'm really shocked that we haven't seen Juwan Johnson after that Green Bay game because I thought he would be the tight end, but he's disappeared after that.
It's kind of went off of that, huh? Mm-hmm. Like, it was the Green Bay game, and bam, and that was it. Like,
yeah, was
star
it.
For a week.
Yeah, right. I thought he would be the guy, but, you know, we haven't seen
him. Hey, to end this, I mean, we're over, but.
Yeah, right.
To end the show, I want to say Joe Burrow. And the Bengals are real deal.
Yeah, that's my second team I'm cheering for.
Yeah,
that's my second team now.
Not just because I'm a fan of Joe Burrow and LSU. I am watching all their games. I do feel like a little kid in a candy store again watching Joe because, it means more to me that he played at LSU.
Yeah.
So I do watch all – and they do put him on TV now because obviously they, think highly of Joe. But if Joe didn't have a defense, they wouldn't be any good. They got a really good defense.
Yeah.
And,
a lot of those guys are from the Saints.
Yeah.
Hendrickson, Eli Apple, a lot of them are from the Saints. So you have the New Orleans Saints defense representing Cincinnati. You have the LSU offense representing Cincinnati. So.
And I really think they can win that division, which is the hardest division in the NFL with the Ravens and the Steelers.
Mm-hmm. And the Browns.
The Browns.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield being hurt.
Yeah, maybe that was big.
Maybe for the year.
Yeah,
so
their running backs are banged up too right
now. Pittsburgh, Roethlisberger is about a way out. He's almost done.
It's probably his last year.
And the Ravens are just shell shocked and getting humiliated by Cincinnati at home.
That was a Super Bowl contender statement they made this past Sunday.
Look,
going to Baltimore and just being the brakes off of Baltimore.
I'm gonna tell you what, the tight end for the Bengals is the real deal.
Yeah, I'm not gonna try to say it. CJ.
Uzomah, something like that.
Right.
Played at Auburn.
Yep.
And then you look, T. Higgins and Jamar Chase.
Yep. Tyler Boyd.
Those guys are big time players.
Right. And he can run the football with Joe Mixon, and Joe Mixon can make
a
play.
Keep an eye on Dak Prescott. He's not possibly playing Sunday. Hopefully that's not a nagging injury because that'd be unfortunate. He was having his best year.
Yeah, talk about having the MVP type year.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott needs to be in the conversation. He's playing really well.
From Houghton, Louisiana.
Yeah.
Right outside of Shreveport. I'm not a Cowboys fan only because of Dak.
Yeah.
But
right.
I grew up not a Cowboys fan.
So you grew up a Steelers fan.
Steelers fan.
Yeah, my dad grew up a Cowboys fan, so he liked Staubach and
Tony Dorsett
and all those guys. Yep.
Yeah, man, they had a guy named Randy White at D tackle.
Yeah,
he was great.
Right.
Drew Pearson finally got in the Hall of Fame.
Yep. Ed Tuttall Jones, those guys.
Harvey Martin.
Yep.
Mel Renfrow.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean Tony Hill, wide receiver. Danny White, the quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah,
after Staubach, was from Arizona State, coached a little bit.
Before Aikman, yeah.
Yeah, Danny was a 14-year pro at Dallas and backed up Staubach about 7 years. You don't see that anymore either.
Yeah, his name doesn't really get mentioned a lot because he was in between Staubach
and
Aikman.
He only threw for 20,000 yards for the Cowboys. So he did it for quite a few years.
Yeah, he did.
Billy Joe Dupree was another one, a tight end.
I
go on and on that they had some phenomenal – and they only got the Steelers in one Super Bowl. They got them when, man.
Yeah.
It wasn't Roethlisberger,
mm-hmm.
but it was Neil O'Donnell.
Yeah, that was when you threw all those picks.
Oh,
Larry
the
Brown.
The only Super Bowl that I can remember that was a loss for the Steelers. They lost 2 total. They lost to Green Bay.
They lost to Green Bay.
And then Dallas.
Yep.
But they beat Dallas in 2 Super Bowls when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Basically 2 out of 3 years.
Yeah, it was either going to be the Steelers or Cowboys, really.
Yeah.
And then maybe like the Dolphins or the Raiders or somebody like that.
But it Dallas, it's been like forever since they've been to a Super Bowl, since the Michael Irvin
days.
Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, the 90s.
Troy Aikman. Jay Novacek.
Yep.
It's right. been a long time. And I think Jerry Jones is like, man, it's toward the end here. We need to get back.
They definitely have the offense to do it. I mean, they have a Super Bowl offense, and the defense showing some strides, so the defense can continue to improve.
Wouldn't it be something if Cincinnati somehow gets the Super Bowl and plays Dallas?
I can see that happening. Yeah,
our Louisiana people would be conflicted because North Louisiana is Dallas Cowboys fans,
right,
most of them.
Right.
I'm talking about North Louisiana.
Sure. Yep, Shreveport, right. Yeah. They're big Cowboys
fans. There's
a
lot of Cowboy fans in Baton Rouge.
Yep.
And then you got the Bengals with Joe and Chase and all those guys, Tyler Shelvin. And
mm-hmm.
I hope Thad Moss can get off the practice squad and be on the team. Be tough with all those tight ends they have in Cincinnati mm-hmm. already. And that's why you see Thad Moss not being in the lineup.
Sure.
Look at what's ahead of him.
Yeah, right.
He can't beat out CJ.
No.
6'5", 250, running a 4.6.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's a reason why he's playing.
But I'd like to see Moss get some balls thrown to him as a Bengal.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll get him involved. I mean, he's got a lot of attributes and skills, especially as a receiver, you know, that they can definitely use.
We'll see what happens.
And Joe obviously likes him, so.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Obviously, keep an eye on the Los Angeles Rams with Stafford.
Yeah, that really – I mean, they got an upgrade at the quarterback position, really. No offense to Jared Goff, but,
My AFC team sleeper is the Raiders still.
Yeah, Derek Carr's playing really well, and they've been playing better since the firing with John Gruden. They've been really coming together as a team and been really playing well.
I think the sleepers are the Bengals and the Raiders, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And the AFC is wide open because Pittsburgh doesn't dominate anymore or Baltimore.
Buffalo's pretty impressive.
Buffalo, but, you know, for some reason they have Kansas City's number.
Yep.
Finally.
Yep.
But Buffalo just needs to show they can get there.
And I tell you who's been looking impressive, too, is the Titans. They've been looking pretty impressive
Derrick
as well.
Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
255-pound, 6'3", of truck coming at you with a 4.5, 40. Speaking of gigantic running backs that have never existed, I know Jerome Bettis was good, but Jerome was 5'11",
mm-hmm.
245, ran a 4.6.
Yeah, right.
This is 6'3", 260, running a 4.4.
Yeah, right.
I said 4.5, 4.4.
Yeah, he can. he outruns, like, smaller cornerbacks.
And Christian Fulton from LSU was he's hurt right now, but he was, I think he gave up no catches for, like, 5 weeks.
Yeah.
As a corner for the Titans.
Yeah, their defense has been a surprise. That they've been really playing well. Anytime you can shut down Patrick Mahomes, that's an accomplishment in itself.
Yeah, Chiefs barely, if they make the playoffs, they might not even get in.
Yeah.
They're giving up 30 points a game.
Yeah, their defense is really bad. And no matter how good you are at quarterback, that's just too much pressure to put on
the quarterback. You know, this has got Tyrann Mathieu upset. He does not like to lose.
This is like some of the New Orleans Saints teams with Breeze, where Breeze had to score 40, 45 points to get him a chance.
Yeah.
And it's that same situation right now in Kansas City.
Well, Tyrann Mathieu can't play D-line at 5'9", 175. So they have a D-line problem. Chris Jones is out. They don't have anything else. Yeah. The linebacking core is non-existent.
Right.
And the DBs are getting lit up. And it's not that Matthew's not any good and the safeties they have are really good. The kid from Mendon is pretty good.
Sneed.
You don't have a D-line in NFL, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what happens there. But let's go ahead and end the show.
Yeah.
I hope everybody enjoyed it. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.